Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of our FootballDiehards.com podcast. We're the top source on the internet for all of your fantasy football needs. All the news and notes, all the information, and all the top players in the country all come to FootballDiehards.com. And three times per week, we give you an audio version of our analysis. On Monday, we review the weekend that was, preview the weekend that's upcoming, talk about injuries and key trends. Wednesday, we do some waiver wire pickups. Who are some hidden gems you can find to help you through injuries or bye week problems? And then towards the end of the week, on Friday or Saturday of each and every week, we do some starts and sits. Who are some guys, even if they've got a marquee name, that you want to sit down, and vice versa? Who are some players you're like, who are these guys, and why should I be starting them in my lineup? We'll help you find that all right here on our FootballDiehards.com podcast. I'm Jeff Renetti, and joining me here, as he does each and every Monday, he's the senior editor of this fine website. Bob Harris joins us once again. Bob, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jeff. How are you doing?
Very, very good, and I'm here in St. Louis. I know that you're in New Mexico talking about just all the great things going on in the world of football. I know one thing that was not good for fantasy owners this week was some of the last-minute injury problems, such as Steven Jackson coming out of that game and just trying to go. Had to be a scratch, and the Rams end up losing. That was an interesting one, to say the least, Jackson not playing.
Yeah, you know, we were kind of fortunate that we started getting reports in early in Sunday morning that it was not looking good and it wasn't positive, so we kind of were playing it up that way, and then it turned out that way. So hopefully no one got too damaged or at least had time to make their alternate plans. We had the inactive news out quite early. But, man, it is a tough call when you have a guy coming off a game like he was coming off against Dallas, and then, you know, you're all set for another big week thinking the Rams look like they're getting untracked. Hey, it's tough for any Jackson owner. I would say, though, that once again, Donnie Avery is continuing to show that he might have been worthy of that first being the first receiver picked in the draft this year.
That was going to be my very next point is, boy, he comes out as an electric pick, and a lot of people, I guarantee that more people drafted Drew Bennett than ever drafted Donnie Avery. Drew Bennett's done absolutely nothing. Zilch, zero, and Donnie Avery's turned out to be a great fantasy play.
Yeah, as someone who now has him on a number of his teams, I can tell you that he's now in must-start territory. And, hey, it helps the whole team. I think, you know, overall, you know, you get a little speed injected in there, and that is what he brings to the table with some receiving skills, no doubt. But, I mean, speed is his game, and you look at, you know, there's two things you can't coach in the NFL, size and speed. I mean, and some guys just roll out of bed every morning with more of it than other guys, and Donnie Avery is one of those guys. Chris Johnson in Tennessee is another one of those guys. I mean, if you can get a guy out there who's an actual football player who has that kind of speed, they can really get something done.
Well, what about some of the other games that were very interesting? I know that people, NFL fans in general, were just consumed with, hey, the NFL's going to Europe again. It's going to be a pretty good matchup of two teams, New Orleans and San Diego, who can put points on the board. Last year they played in England, and nothing came of the game. It was a drab running affair with all this rain. This year, almost 900 yards of total offense. But for fantasy fans, you get a lot of people finally waking up and playing well.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously everyone was excited. CLT, not to, you know, he maybe didn't find the end zone, but just if you watch the game, seeing the way he was running and seeing some of the moves he was making, I found very encouraging. Antonio Gates looks like he's back up to speed, I would say. Jeremy Shockey kind of disappeared for the Saints, but I think he is on the way. But, hey, Drew Brees can get it done. They've got targets there. I mean, you know, one of the problems, you know, I do like, you know, various shows around the country, people call and ask lineup questions, and a lot of them are about Saints receivers. And it's, you know, I think a lot of that depends. You know, the biggest question I hear is, well, Moore or Henderson? Well, if you're in a point per reception league, Moore is looking like your guy. If you're in a, you know, if you're not, the big play threat is Henderson. But they're spreading the ball around in a way there where it kind of effectively keeps Marcus Colston, maybe for now, from being everything you thought he'd be on draft day, where a guy like Lance Moore comes out of nowhere and he's going to be a solid producer every week, especially with Reggie Bush out maybe another month. I think some of the receptions that Reggie Bush was getting are going to go to Lance Moore.
Yeah, being a guy that has Henderson, though, he is a fine play, especially at that like wide receiver 3 spot. Is he a guy that you're going to count on for huge yards? Well, absolutely not, but He keeps finding
big
the end zone
press.
For that team.
Big play
yeah, he keeps
exactly.
finding the end zone.
Exactly,
I mean,
and that's what you know, and that's what you try to tell people. You know, if you have Henderson, hey, you can't really sit him. He is going to put it. He's going to find the end zone on occasion. He's going to come up with big plays when he does get the ball in his hands. But to assume he's going to be like the leading receiver on the team, or anyone for that matter. I mean, I think that's the issue with that team is Drew Brees is so efficient and so effective at spreading the ball around that determining from week to week. I mean, this is not Houston where Andre Johnson is going to be the guy every week. There's going to be different guys every week.
Well, talk about San Diego, though, even though, now, results aside, because they lose the football game, fantasy-wise, it was a great day because Phillip Rivers just goes off. He throws a lot. And then finally, LT plays like a guy that should be taken in the first couple of picks overall.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, if you watched the game and you saw the moves he was making, he was actually starting to look like that guy. I know he didn't find the end zone, but don't worry about that. And then you have other guys that are emerging right now. Vincent Jackson is finally, you know, hey, this guy's had all the physical attributes you'd want, the 6'5", 240, the good speed, and now he's putting it all together. And even guys like Malcolm Floyd are coming out and getting the job done. Chris Chambers returned. I think he's going to continue to be a scoring threat. That team is going to continue to be a great fantasy producer, especially if LT continues. If this trend that we saw start in England on Sunday, if he continues to play like that, this team's going to be very good from a fantasy perspective. Whether they win another game, who knows? I mean, I thought they should have won this one this week. So,
Bob Harris joining me here on our weekly podcast. We do it three times a week, and every Monday we talk to Bob about what happened over the weekend and what's going to happen the next couple of weeks here in the world of fantasy football. And I had emails, and again, people can send me emails that I can ask our experts or give my own opinion at Vern, V-E-R-N, at footballdiehards.com. I had a guy email me, who should I play this week? I'm down to one of two choices, Coles or Anquan Boldin. And Coles was limited sometime in practice this week, but it seems like Favre and he are developing a little bit of a good, you know, back and forth. But Boldin was clearly Warner's guy before the injury, but it's always hesitant playing players, especially receivers, coming off injuries. I said go Boldin. I just thought that they would have to pass to win. It ended up being the good play. Anquan Boldin doesn't even look like he missed any time.
I think if the hardest decision you have to make every week is whether to play Coles or Boldin, your team's in
yes.
pretty good shape.
Yes, I think his team is pretty good.
You know, yeah, exactly. So, but I do agree. I think if Boldin is on my roster, and I think that's what we were writing our Sunday morning updates was, you know, if he's on your roster and he's on the field, you pretty much have to play the guy. I mean, that offense is so potent in the passing attack, and, I mean, that's where they're putting up their points. The running game a little less so. I think people be interested to hear that head coach Ken Wisenhunt today at his press conference wouldn't commit to Edgerrin James being the permanent starter for the rest of the season. Not saying the change is imminent, but, you know, Hightower has kind of taken over as a scoring threat in the backfield there. But, hey, in that passing attack, you know, guys, just because Bolden's back, don't give up on Steve Breston. I mean, he's still going to put up numbers, too. I mean, there's enough room, especially if the tight ends continue to be hurt in that team. They go with a lot of three and four wides. They were missing both Leonard Pope and Ben Patrick this past week, and so they had one tight end. They were going with four wides quite a bit. As long as they keep doing that, guys on the field are going to be productive in that offense.
And the thing is, Warner just continues to chalk up huge fantasy numbers. I mean, the guy, even in losses, I mean, he's just throwing for huge yards.
Yeah, you know, I'm set up in one league where I have Brees and I have Warner, and it's a weekly exercise in kicking myself in the tail the next day because, I mean, you know, it's hard to go wrong, but, you know, if I make the change up, I'm certainly going to pick the wrong guy on the wrong week, but. Hey, Warner's getting the job done. If you got him, you should be playing him every week. If you got Brees, you should be playing him every week. And if you got guys like Matt Schaub right now, play them every week. Get the guys on a roll. I don't think Houston's passing attack looks unstoppable. They've been playing easy opponents, but confidence will breed continued success, in my opinion.
Okay, the team's not very good, but fantasy-wise, they had some players that were doing pretty well. I'm talking about the San Francisco 49ers, and everyone thought, not that Singletary would just turn it right around, but I think people, especially in San Francisco, were hoping for the results that, say, St. Louis had with Jim Haslett thrown in there. Maybe a little energy, maybe a little fire, something would come back. We didn't think he'd bench J.T. O'Sullivan and Vernon Davis would be kicked off the field. And, boy, what is going on there with some of the key players?
That's going to be an interesting situation. I think, you know, I think from a fan's perspective, from a general perspective, it's, you know, when we all watch that Singletary press conference after game, we're thinking, wow, I wish every coach did this. Well, you know, every coach doesn't need to do that, and every coach does do that in the locker room, in the privacy with just the guys around. But I think in this case with San Francisco, hey, it needs to be done once. I have a kind of a theory. If you kick someone's tail once a year, you only have to kick someone's tail once a year. And so basically he came out, and even Vernon Davis was his huckleberry, and he just had it out. He got it, you know. And I think it's also safe to say that his issues with Vernon Davis have been longstanding. I think Singletary wishes he could have done something. And he did it, and he's made an example, and he set a tone. We'll see if he doesn't tone it down a notch and keep it more in-house in the future. But I think for this one time, it was good to get it out there. I think, hey, who wasn't thinking it? Who wasn't thinking the same thing Singletary was saying when Vernon Davis slapped that guy in the face and drew the flag? What are you thinking, son? And so,
And so
you know, you see something like that, and I think we can all relate to that. And I do hope it gives the team a little spark. But they're not a good team, you know, right now. I think, you know, unless they can fix the quarterback situation and quit turning the ball over, and if they make the switch to Sean Hill, hey, maybe, you know, if nothing else, start handing the ball. I think Mike Singletary will ask Mike Martz to run with Frank Gore a little more heavily, and if I'm Mike Martz, I think I would listen to him.
Yeah, he didn't even tell Martz he was taking O'Sullivan out of the game, so it's going to be fun to see how that relationship goes there. But
absolutely.
Before we let you go, what other storylines have you found most interesting over the weekend, or what trends do you see developing over the week that you want to make sure people keep an eye on for our constant updates?
You know, I think one of the stories you're going to be watching is Larry Johnson coming days. He was charged with simple assault today. He's going to meet the commissioner tomorrow. There's been a lot of speculation that even if the commissioner lets him off the hook, because, hey, Johnson did come out, he's very apologetic. But I think, you know, ESPN's Michael Smith was speculating this morning that even if he doesn't get suspended, we may have seen the last of him this year. The Chiefs may have just put the focus on helping him get his problems straightened out and maybe cut some kind of deal where, hey, we don't try to take your bonus money if you do what we say and get in a program and take care of yourself. Larry Johnson's going to be a big question going forward, as are the Dallas Cowboys. Brad Johnson's not getting it done. There's been some rumblings that we'll see Brooks Bollinger next week. Johnson's going to start this week, but don't be surprised if we get a Bollinger sighting.
Oh, no, please say it isn't so. And that's, boy, that injury's been such a killer. Not that Romo can be replaced, but that Brad Johnson's just been so bad.
You know, I think people are surprised. We all kind of viewed him as a game manager kind of guy, and that's, you know, he is that, but we did expect a little more. With those weapons, and I expected more because a lot of those weapons are good run-after-the-catch guys, you know, Terrell Owens, big play guys. And he's just not getting the ball in the good spot. So.
Well, I would have thought Brad Johnson, low 200s and a couple of touchdowns, maybe a pick or two every game. I thought that would be numbers you could live with, because then that means your receivers are getting the ball and they're running enough. But yeah, he's been terrible.
I think what was it, 173 yards of total offense this week? That's not going to work
Yuck.
In Dallas.
Yuck. Well, Bob, great information, and we see your stuff all the time, and people make sure you keep logging into these podcasts to get Bob's analysis, and we'll have insight throughout the week. But, Bob, great job as always. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
That is Bob Harris, the senior editor of Football Diehards. I'm Jeff Vernetti. We will see you coming up on Wednesday. We'll have our waiver wire decisions, who to go out there and grab if you need some help. Keep it locked right here to your information source. It's your podcast at footballdiehards.com.